am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there. And safely his great hand will lead me to the mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen.
Amen. Let's remain standing for prayer, and we are happy today to have Brother Norman Higgins with us in our service. And I'm going to give him opportunity to come up here and say a few words for us in just a moment, but will you open our service in prayer, please?
Father, we're thankful this morning. We thank you this morning for the opportunity to be here in your house and to sing praises to your glorious name. Just pray now that you're blessed in this service. Yes. May your Holy Spirit walk among us this morning and speak to hearts, and may every need needs be met, be met. No one walk away from this place with what their needs have been met this morning. We give you glory and praise for all of it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Higgins, come on up here. Give us a few words. Did y'all notice he's getting old?
No. I have.
He's not that young, spry missionary that we used to have.
No, the past few months have really been hitting me. I want to say thank you, folks, for your faithfulness down through the years to have a part in our ministry there in Tijuana. And I just want to assure you this morning that God's richly blessing your ministry there. We are now just finished putting the roof on our new addition on the church building there. We've been having up to 700 and over in attendances on Sundays, and a lot of them have been sitting outside, and so right now when the rains are coming and the, and everything is a good time for us to get the roof done, but we do have the roof finished, and as the money comes in, we'll go ahead and finish the rest of the building. We got a group coming down from Mansfield, Ohio in February to do some work on the inside, platform work and so forth. This group comes down, just seems like almost every other year to work for us, and they do a great job. But God's good. We had our Christmas banquet for the ladies, annual ladies Christmas meeting. Had over 700 ladies there for that from other churches besides our church, of course, from churches in California and in Mexico. And a great time was had by all. The children's home's doing well. The Bible Institute is doing well. We've got a good group of students this year, and we look forward to getting these guys on and girls on through school and getting them on out on the field to do work for the Lord. And God is richly blessing those that are on the field that have come through our school, and we praise the Lord for what he's doing there. This school has been something in my heart and my mind for years, and when it came to fruition, what a blessing, and what a blessing it's been to see these guys, as I said, ladies also, come through our school and get them on the field and get them to working, planting churches and reaching precious folks with Christ, for Christ. Thank you, preacher.
All right, thank you.
Love you.
We do have a scripture reading this morning. We have our... So we're going to read from Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, excuse me, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another, of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, that the he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt reap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We've got some birthdays and anniversaries, since this is the first of the first service of January 2016. Let's see, we have Brother Bob and Sister Betsy, anniversary, amen. And David Barden's birthday, Roger Evans, Linda Evans, both have birthdays, amen. Pastor has a birthday this month. Let's see. So let's sing happy birthday first. So with all those with birthdays, please stand, and we can sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. All those with an anniversary.
Amen.
Amen. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Amen to everybody. After the service, we're going to have a church meeting. And also, pastor's going to give a financial report first. So remember that to stay, if you're a member, members are going to be able to vote. We're going to have something to vote on. And there'll be more to talk about after the service this morning. Amen. Turn over to... Let's see, 447, and we'll sing My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. My faith has found a resting place, not in and made creed. I trust the ever-living one that he for me will plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. Enough for me that Jesus says, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he will not cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. My soul is resting on the Word, the living Word of God. Salvation in my Savior's name, salvation through His blood.
I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. The great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. Amen. Would you all rise and turn over to 553? And if the ushers would come at the end of this song, we'll have our offering. 553. Thank you. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is old, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore. To thy shore, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Brother Roger, will you lead us, please, in prayer?
Father, again, we just come to you with thankful hearts. We thank you for this place we can come and gather to sing praise unto you and hear your word being spoken. Father, we ask that you quiet our hearts now, that we would be attentive to the things that you lay upon our pastor's hearts. Father, we also pray for the meeting hereafter, that everything said and done would be to your honor and your glory. Father, we, as we partake of this offering, we also ask that you just multiply it here in this corner, but not only here, but the mission fields we support around the world, and we will be careful to give you all praise, honor, and glory. For it is in Christ's name we ask him, for his sake. Amen.
Amen. We're going to have Brother Johnny come up here and sing a song for us just a moment. And I want to say it's good to have all the visitors with us in our congregation today. We appreciate your being here. And especially Brother Mason, we enjoyed his ministry last Sunday night. Amen. Wrote a wonderful message. We had a dedication of his grandbaby, and we just had a wonderful time here in the Lord. Now, the Lord willing, I will be preaching again tonight in the evening service at 6 o'clock. Then next Sunday is January the 10th, the day of my retirement. I'll have my birthday on the day before that. I expect quite a few of my family to be here. I have a brother that's coming out here from Houston, and so there may be more Wetzels around here than you can shake a stick at, but it will be good to have family here. And remembering how that 65 years ago, when I stood in the pulpit for the first time and preached my first sermon, that there weren't very many of them there at that time. Some of them that were there have already gone on to be with the Lord, and the rest of them, some of them just going on, you know. And anyway, it's amazing how fast a life can pass. I remember getting into the pulpit for the first time. I remember the text of the message that I brought from Ezekiel. Why will you die? And that's still a question in my heart today to people. Why will you die when salvation is so close by? Anyway, that'll be next Sunday, and then you will be remanded into the hands of a capable man who will be responsible for bringing you messages and edifying the saints. Brother Joe Langley will, I think, do you a good job. We'll wait and see. Yeah, I think you made a good selection in choosing him as your interim pastor. I don't know if he'll be here next Sunday or not. I haven't been in touch with him this week. But anyway, it's good to have you here today in our service, and I want to hear once again Brother Johnny, bring us a good message in song.
Good morning, everyone. And I continue to pray that the year 2016, that God will do a mighty work in all of your lives. You know what, Pastor? I want to thank you for your service. You understand? You know what? Being on the front line isn't that good, is it? The enemy's shooting darts, boy. They shooting darts, arrows. You got to duck and turn around, do all that kind of stuff. But you know that your captain is with you, though. Amen? He's going to be with you and going to see you through. You just hold on. You got, now look here. Just because you done retired from the pulpit actively, God's going to put you on active reserve. You know that, don't you? Amen? You can get called up at any time.
That's right.
Amen. But until then, my prayer, this is for you, Pastor. All right. So you keep on marching. Amen. Please.
One soldier standing all alone, surrounded by the enemy, by some who view the war fall, defeated seems to be. But with a prayer on his trembling lips, he lifts a mighty sword, and an enemy is conquered by one soldier of the Lord. One lone soldier, true and faithful, marching through a battle zone, protected by the grace of God, not on his strength alone. And though he lay in comfort by dying of possibility, one lone soldier marches onward in glorious victory. Now the rules have been neglected at times. He's been forsaken and left to die. Even comrades once was so close, had to leave him to lie. But unseen by friends and enemies, an angel kneeled. He said, by the captain of the host, the soldier wound to heal. One lone soldier, true and faithful, marching through a battle zone, he's protected by the grace of God, not on his strength alone. Now though he lay in comfort by dire possibility, one lone soldier marches onward in glorious victory. One lone soldier, true and faithful, marching through the battle zone, protected by the grace of God, not on his strength alone. Now though he lay in coffin, by dying a possibility, one lone soldier marches forward. One lone soldier marches forward. One lone soldier marches forward. And glorious victory, victory.
Pray, keep marching on, Pastor. You're going to be all right. Praise God. Hallelujah.
For my message this morning, I would like for you to turn over into Acts chapter 11 with me and read a couple of verses here. The title of our message, if you saw in the bulletin, is, Are You a Christian? Are you a Christian? by the way, I have a lot of information that I would like to share with you that I will not be able to do so, except to tell you this. I am sort of writing a book, and it will be about the Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. I know more about that than I do anything else to write about. And it'll be a sort of a history book going back to 1968 when this church was organized, and reviewing each year as we have gone down through the years. We'll have the list of all of the people who have been saved and baptized, more than you think. We've had a drought, spiritual drought, the past couple of years Nobody's been saved. Nobody's joined the church. Well, not, you know, two or three maybe, three or four. But not by tens and 20s and 30s and such as this, like we have in some years in the past. So it'll have all of that, have the names of all of the visitors that we've had to come, visiting pastors, missionaries, visiting our congregation, presenting their fields for us. We'll have the names in there of quite a number of people who have already gone on to be with the Lord. I told you not long ago that when we met together for Memorial Day, that we have a lot more members in heaven than we have here on earth. And we have two good pastors up there that are looking after them, so they're in good hands. And anyway, we'll try to get word to you and let you know when when that's ready. But going now to our message in Acts chapter 11, verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. Who's at Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus. Saul, the persecutor of Christians. The one that got converted on the road to Damascus. He went back home. He went back to Tarsus. And now then Barnabas is going after him. Barnabas went to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Now the capital of that nation called Syria. Still over there, isn't it? In the Middle East? Syria? Used to be a city there that was founded about 300 years before Jesus came, and it was named Antioch. Now, to get there from Jerusalem, Barnabas is going to have to travel about 300 miles north of Jerusalem to get to Antioch in Syria. Now, Antioch had become a haven for believers in Christ. In that early first century, there was heavy persecution from the Jews in Jerusalem and Judea against the Christians. They weren't known as Christians then. They were simply believers in Jesus Christ. But they were persecuted. They were put in prison. They were put to death. That's what Paul was active in back then, before his pre-conversion days. Now, they that were scattered, persecuted, went everywhere preaching the word of God. They were single-minded, single-purposed people. They had one goal in mind, and that was reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They wanted to see people get saved. And so they went over to Antioch, where they were safe from persecution. Just like today, what are the problems we have in America is an immigration problem. And from what I hear, the immigrants that are coming here to America are coming here to escape persecution, religious persecution in the countries where they are living now. So they're coming here to the United States because we have freedom of religion. And they're not going to get put in jail because of what they believe. Now, we learn from our text here, and look at it here in verse 28. And there stood up one of them named, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled together themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now we learn from these verses here that the believers, that is those who believed in Jesus Christ, the believers were disciples before they were ever Christians. So you've got three names here they were called by: believers, disciples, Christians. Now, the Greek word methetes, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S. If you have a Greek New Testament, that Greek word is translated disciple. And it indicates thought accompanied by endeavor. Hence, one who follows one's teachings. If you are a student, you have a teacher, that teacher teaches you, and you follow that teacher's instructions. That makes you a disciple of that teacher. Now, this disciple here then is a scholar. He is a learner. He is one who believes and practices the doctrine of his teacher and follows his teacher. These disciples at Antioch were followers of Jesus Christ. After his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension back to glory, Jesus still had disciples who observed his teachings. Technically, if you are today a follower of the teachings of Jesus Christ, you believe in them and you practice them, then you are correctly a disciple of Christ. Now we have a denomination of Christians today who are known as disciples of Christ. You drive up and down the street, every once in a while you'll see one that's called the Christian Church. Got a good name. The Christian Church was founded back in the early 19th century here in the United States of America by people from the cedar branch of the United Presbyterian Church. Did you know that? Now, they have a good name. I can't say as much for their doctrine because they believe in baptismal regeneration. You see, I'm a Baptist, but I don't believe in baptismal regeneration. Kind of strange, isn't it? It really is. Seems like we kind of got the cart before the horse. But if you believe in salvation by works, you can get out of your pew and come up here and say, Brother Wetzel, I would like for you to save me. And I say, well, how can I save you? Well, put some water in this baptistry and take me down in that baptistry and dunk me under that water like that. And when I go down, I'm a sinner. When I come up, I'm a saint, because all of my sins have been washed away by that water that I was baptized in. And the water has washed my sins away, not the blood of Jesus. You see, that's the difference. Now, the disciples were called Christians. That word Christian is found three times in the Bible, only three. We find it here in the words of our text. You'll find it again in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts in verse 28. Because there was a king on the throne by the name of King Agrippa. He had a prisoner in his jail that he brought out of prison and heard him speak concerning Jesus Christ. And as Paul preached to him, he got under conviction by the Holy Spirit of God. And he said to Paul, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Somebody later on wrote a song, makes a good invitation hymn, almost persuaded. Almost persuaded now to believe. And King Agrippa was almost persuaded to be a Christian. The problem is, he didn't cross over. Didn't go all the way. And King Agrippa today, been in hell 2,000 years. Think of that. Almost persuaded to be a Christian, but not all the way. And then you'll find it, references made by Peter in 1 Peter 4:16. And he writes there, if any man suffer as a Christian, somebody persecutes you because you are a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God, that he died on the cross to save us from our sins, if you believe that, and you're persecuted because of it, let him not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of it. Now that name Christian was applied to these Antioch believers by people who didn't like them. They were scorned. People made fun of them because of their lifestyle, how they lived and conducted themselves. very idea, following the teachings of a man who is dead. Now, why did they pick the name Christian? They could have called him Anabaptist. Later on, that's what they would be called anyway. Or why not just plain Baptist? Because they immerse those who professed faith in Christ. Or they could have called them Congregationalist, because they had a congregational form of government. Each member was a member of the congregation. Each member had a voice. Each member had a vote. A congregational form of government. No single person or group of persons dictating to the congregation, don't you see? They could have called them Congregationalists because they had that form of government. And there is a denomination today that's known as Congregationalist. They could have been called Separatist. They followed the same lifestyle as those who later would become known by that name, Separatist. Why not Puritans? They followed the same lifestyle as those Puritans who came to America and founded this great nation on the principles of Christian moral purity. But they didn't choose any of these names. They called them Christians. The Greek was Christianos, signifying that they were followers of Jesus Christ. It was applied to them by the Gentiles, to these early disciples of Christ. A historian of that day by the name of Tacitus wrote near the end of that first century these words. He says, the vulgar call them Christians. The author or origin of their denomination, Christ, had in the reign of Tiberius been executed by Pontius Pilate. They had no leader. All they had was the name of a dead man to follow. But from the second century on, that name Christian kind of got accepted by the believers, and they were proud to be called Christians. It became a title of honor. But what about these people called Christians? Christians believe the Bible to be the very Word of God. Did you know that? If a person says that they're Christian, you kind of take it for granted that they believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Those early believers had the Old Testament scriptures. They believed it to be the holy, verbally inspired, God-breathed, infallible Word of God. They acted on that belief. They read the Bible. They studied it. They searched it daily. They quoted it. They shared its message with others. They talked about it. And they practiced its teachings. Their lives reflected their faith. It was their guidebook down the road of life. It was their rule book for their conduct in their worship of God and with their social activities involving their fellow man. It was their Bible. And if someone says that they're a Christian, we kind of take it for granted that they believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Mohammed or Buddha or anybody like that. They believe in Jesus Christ. What do they believe about him? Well, they believe that he is the Son of God and God the Son. They believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he lived a sinless life, who died a vicarious death on the cross of Calvary, who shed his blood for the remission of our sins. A Christian believes that Jesus was buried, and that 3 days after he was buried, he rose under his own power from the grave. They believe that he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days. And then he ascended back to heaven. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for us as our great high priest. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, the only way that anyone can know what is in another person's heart or mind is by their conduct, by their actions, even their words. But these two can be deceiving, can they not? Now, this Jesus proved himself to be God. Good things can only be accounted for by the new birth. It's Christ that does them, not us. A Christian believes in life after death. A Christian believes there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. I would be accused for New Year's Day. I went out and spent a good portion of the day with my wife. Can you believe that? A grown man, supposed to have good sense, takes a folding chair, goes out to a cemetery, and sits down on a grave and talks to a person who's been dead for nearly 2 years. That's crazy, isn't it? I wouldn't follow a person like that. Talking to the dead, visiting the dead. The only thing is that person who visited the dead on New Year's Day believes that one day he's going to see that dead person again. Yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, there's nothing but a coffin down there. In that coffin, the decayed body of a person that's been dead for a year and a half. Think of that. Why, if you dug her up and talked to her, she couldn't hear you. Goodness gracious, anybody do something like that? They ought to have their head examined. Talking to the dead. But one third of her's there. Her body, her soul, and her spirit are with the Lord. So I got one third of her still there. But anyway, a Christian is one who believes in life after death. You see, you know, I don't believe that my wife is in that grave. Boy, that's strange too, isn't it? She's with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible tells me so. I'll take God's word for it over what man may say. These early Christians became ministers and missionaries who went with the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost part of the earth. And as a result, within a dozen years of Christ's death, let me give you some statistics here. Remember Teman? Old Teman was one of the seven chosen men in Acts chapter 6. He went out preaching in Macedonia, in Greece. And another one, Parmenas, went preaching at Philippi. And then Philip, who was the first disciple of Jesus to be called by the name disciple. Remember that? Philip, the first person to be called a disciple in the Bible, preached in Upper Asia. Matthew, the apostle, the one who gave us the gospel, preached in Parthia. He preached over in Iran. Go over there today, they'll throw you in jail. He preached in Iran. Later preached in Ethiopia. Andrew, remember him? He traveled extensively throughout the Asiatic nations and Greece. John Mark ministered in Asia and in Egypt. And old Simon Peter, why, he preached everywhere. He even went to Rome. Jude preached in Asia and Greece. Bartholomew ministered in many countries, eventually wound up in India, where he translated Matthew's gospel into the Indian language. Isn't that wonderful? Thomas traveled to Parthia, also in Iran and in India. They went all over the place. Luke ministered in many countries in Asia and Greece. Simon Zelotes ministered in Africa and Britain. The Apostle John ministered in Asia and Rome. And Barnabas preached in Asia and Cyprus. In fact, listen to me, that early church of that first century went everywhere preaching the gospel of Christ, making disciples, baptizing believers, teaching the word of God, and organizing churches. And they were martyred for their efforts. There were probably more Christian churches in more nations of the world by the end of that first century than there are right now, 2,000 years later. Why? Because those Christians believed that people without Christ died and went to an eternal hell when they died, while the believers in Christ went to heaven to enjoy the everlasting bliss of God's saved people. One other point, and I'll close. Christians believed in the resurrection of the dead. They believed in the judgment seat of Christ, and they believed in the second coming of Christ. They showed their belief in the resurrection by submitting their physical bodies a living sacrifice to God. They showed their belief in the judgment by doing good works which glorified God and brought eternal rewards to themselves. They showed their belief in the second coming of Christ by purifying themselves even as He is pure. And you and I should desire to be known as a disciple of Christ, an unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. You and I should not be ashamed to bear the name Christian and to be recognized by those who would say with Paul, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And we should not be ashamed of the name Baptist, which means one who has been saved by God's amazing grace. We've been born again by virtue of the new birth. We've been baptized by immersion in water, portraying the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad to be a Christian. Amen. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness and grace that has made us Christians. We thank You today that when a person calls us a Christian, he's paying us the greatest compliment that he knows how to pay. We're called Christians because we follow Christ. And we pray that You might continually lead us in those paths of righteousness. If there's one here today that is not a Christian, not a disciple in Christ, I pray that as this invitation is given today, the Holy Spirit will convict their hearts and they'll come forward and accept Jesus as their personal Savior. For we ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen. 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 Sing a verse of invitation.
487. 487.
Are you a Christian this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Amen. Thank you. You've been a wonderful congregation. I apologize that I kind of played out on you, but I still have sickness that I've had for about a month. And one of these days it'll get better. One of these days. going to ask Brother Mason, if he will, to lead us in our benediction this morning from this part of the service. Remember the business meeting that will follow immediately. Brother Mason. Amen. Amen.